It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now, methane, major source of global warming. Cows are a leading culprit in agriculture. Their belches, a source of greenhouse gases. And scientists wonder whether adding seaweed to cattle feed could reduce methane emissions. Bring your questions about seaweed feed, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Conversation right here. Andre Brito is Associate Professor of Dairy, Cattle, Nutrition, and Management at the University of New Hampshire. Andre, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity.
Yes, set up the problem for us. When a cow burps, that cow is releasing methane into the air. What is happening?
Well, yes, the major source of methane from cows are burps, right? 95% of the methane it produces via burps in cows. And the concern is methane, as you said, is a greenhouse gas, very potent, about 30 times more potent than carbon dioxide. And that contributes to trapping the heat in the atmosphere, leading to all the concerns in terms of climate change that you're seeing at the moment.
How would feeding a cow a seaweed type additive have the potential to reduce its methane production?
Seaweeds, they have a very complex set of bioactive compounds. And some of these compounds, including halogenated compounds or bromoform, they have been shown to reduce methane, basically by inhibiting the growth of the microbes that produce methane in the cow stomach, right? The cow stomach is this huge fermentation vat with up to 25 gallon capacity, where the microbes grow and the byproducts of that growth, it's gas. One of the gas is methane. So the seaweeds has this ability to reduce the growth of those microbes that produce methane, and that's how methane can be suppressed.
I think the next time I see a cow, which we see a lot of here in Wisconsin, I'm just going to say, you're a huge fermentation vat, you cow. So what are you finding, Andre, in your research with the seaweed at University of New Hampshire? What are some of these early takeaways?
Yes, we're trying to work with what you call locally available, right, seaweeds that are basically grown in Gulf of Maine in the North Atlantic. Some of our preliminary results show up to 15 to 20% reduction in methane production. This with seaweeds, again, that grown in locally. The other types of seaweeds coming from Australia or even Portugal, they have been shown to be more effective, up to 80% reduction in methane.
Wow.
So you see the big range, right? And that was also in beef cattle, in dairy cattle, about 40%. There is this range between 15 up to 80%. And again, all depends on the seaweed species, whether they are brown seaweeds or red seaweeds. And that's where the research is going, trying to identify seaweeds that are, you know, preferentially available locally, and because that can give us more opportunities to scale the production.
Right, because if you're importing a certain type of species of seaweed from that is grown, you know, or that is populated in Australia, you have to look at that carbon footprint to get it to here.
Exactly. And you don't want to have that trade-off, right? Mm-hmm. You may be reducing at the cow level, but then all the transportation costs and moving these seaweeds would be, you know, technically impossible, right? That's the reality. So trying to find locally solutions, including cultivating some of these promising seaweeds in aquaculture systems or in land-based systems, like it's already there is some companies doing that in the United States, in Hawaii, That may be a possibility to scale this up and then make this more feasible to be fed at the farm level.
I'm going to reintroduce you here a moment. Andre Brito at the University of New Hampshire, associate professor researching methane emissions from cows, the introduction of types of seaweed and what that could do to cows. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Andre, could seaweed feed additives, could that improve or affect a cow's health or milk production? I mean, I think of seaweed as a very healthy thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's some concerns and some opportunities there and some challenges. Based on the research that has been going on in my lab and other institutions, there's some types of seaweeds can reduce stress in cows, like cortisol. It's the stress hormone, and we have data to back that up, showing that some of these brown seaweeds can reduce that. So these cortisol levels in cows make them less stress. So that's a good thing, because that can then feed into more milk production. On the other hand, a major challenge is those seaweeds doesn't lead to a reduction in milk production and milk components like butter fat and milk protein, because that are the base of the pain for farmers. Based on the research up to date, including this most promising seaweeds, some of these red seaweeds from Australia and Portugal, so there is some reduction in milk production in short-term studies, right? Mm-hmm. So we need more research and more data to be more certain about the impacts of the seaweeds. It doesn't seem to have any detrimental effect on cow health, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, you have some of those brown seaweeds promoting health. So, but again, we need more research and more data on this field.
Matt from Madison has written in to ask you a question. In reaching way back in time in history, Matt asks, wasn't our landscape covered by bison? Didn't bison belch and pass gas? Why wasn't that a problem?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, wild ruminants, you know, they produce up to date, right? So all wild ruminants, they produce methane. I think what you need to take into account is the several processes that, in addition to evolution, right, in a sense, and also the fact that domestication of some of those animals, including cattle, and the large number of those animals in these more intensified production systems, you end up, right, producing more methane. Hmm. So I think it's a combination of factors. Methane is one of the components in this whole equation, right? Carbon dioxide coming from, you know, cars and fossil fuels are way more problematic than methane itself. And methane is a small part of this whole complex issue. Hmm. However, the dairy industry needs to be on the front of this and become a solution to the problem. That's what we need to. The U.S. cattle industry is very effective in general, very efficient, and we need to be part of the solution.
And I want to use that as a jumping off point here, Andre, because are there significant regulatory hurdles that seaweed as an additive to feed would have to get through in the U.S. so that it would ultimately be used by dairy farmers in Wisconsin? At this point, as you work with it, what is holding it back?
Well, that's some of this. Going back, is this seaweed safe for human consumption, which it seems to be, right? There's no indication that some of this brominated compounds or even bromoform that could be present in milk could cause any harm to human health. So part of that is being more research and more of this being approved, right? Mm-hmm. From some of these regulatory bodies in U.S. I mean, I anticipated that as more research, you know, is been done, this would potentially be approved. I don't see why not, considering that there are already seaweeds being fed, specifically in the organic dairy sector in the U.S. For many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. I don't see why some of these red seaweeds would not be approved at some point.
As we start to wrap up here, where do you plan to take your research next? What are next steps?
Yeah, we are looking at several aspects of these projects, including testing different species of seaweeds, again, that are locally available in the United States. In addition to that, we are working with other groups, other institutions to come up with modeling and also whole farm systems, not only look at the cow level, but also at the farm level up to the plate, right? Look at this whole system to see the benefits and opportunities to include seaweeds as dairy feeds.
And really how to scale it up, as well as be mindful that farmers are trying to watch their bottom line with the cost of their inputs.
Exactly. That's a major thing. You know, in the end of the day, any feeding strategy, any novel feeding strategy needs to be profitable and safe for the animals and profitable for the dairy farmer. That's the bottom line there.
Andre, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks a lot for the opportunity, and I just want to say that I did graduate from the University of Wisconsin. I love this state. I love the dairy state, and having this opportunity to talk to folks are great.
Oh, that just warms our heart. Andre Brito, Associate Professor of Dairy Cattle Nutrition and Management at the University of New Hampshire now. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.